So for those of you who are new here, General Assembly is the annual gathering of our denomination. We are run by congregational polity, so all of our business, all of our decisions, everything we do is decided by the delegates at this General Assembly, not by some bishop or other hierarchical figure. So there are lots of things I could tell you this morning about what we did at General Assembly, the Article 2 revisions, the actions of immediate witness, the elections, the resolutions. I want to invite you to go to the What's Happening in Unitarian Universalism page on our website to read about those things, because I want to talk about how General Assembly felt, where we are. And I apologize to any of you who are first-time visitors in a UU congregation. There's going to be some inside baseball talk. And I think you might also hear some things that move you or inspire you about this amazing faith tradition. At least, I hope so. So there were several themes woven throughout the week that I want to share. First, as you can probably tell by the hymns we've been singing and the reading we offered, change, evolution. Liberal religion, you've heard me say this, if you come regularly, it changes with inspiration, with learning, with experience, and this is a time of deep change. The work to revise Article 2 of our association's bylaws is reflective of the change we need to make as an association, as we learn more and more about how we've been complicit in cultures of oppression and marginalization. And I believe the conversations we're going to have here at REEB and in congregations across the country over the next year, because we did vote to bring these changes to our congregations for conversation for a year. I believe those conversations are a crucial part of staying relevant and vibrant as a congregation and as a movement. Second, re-emergence. After the collective trauma we have been facing since, by my reckoning, 2016, there are many kinds of sub-themes here. There's mission, knowing who we are and why we're here together. We talked about mission, heard about mission over and over again. Imagination, being open and willing to move forward, not knowing all the answers or even sometimes the questions. Collaboration, working together within our congregation and with other congregations and partners outside our walls. Communal care, taking care of each other as what our incoming president calls a countercultural response to the evils of society. Third theme, and tied to reemergence, is capacity. Thank you. Isn't text wonderful? Capacity. So many of our congregations are experiencing minister and lay leader burnout. We are all so tired, right? There's not enough energy to do all the things. Our incoming president, the Reverend Dr. Sophia Betancourt, said a thing that really resonated with me. And in this clip you're about to see, you're going to see the Reverend Matthew Johnson asking her a question. Or maybe you're not. Or maybe you are. Let's see what happens as the thing rolls. Theoretically, you're going to see Reverend Matthew Johnson asking her a question during the presidential forum. Go for it, Mike. Oh, yes. Give Mike a second to fix the sound.
So this question comes from things they could do, but it's hard to prioritize when it takes effort to just keep going. Do you have wisdom to share for small congregations and the particular dynamics of congregational ministry where there are so many small congregations in Boston or in Mass Bay? And how can the UA partner with these congregations?
Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about the resources we're seeing right now for leadership development, for Leader Lab, for congregational resources of all kinds. I mean, really, can we actually just give some thanks and praise to the staff of the UUA who've been working so hard? Thank you. For me, actually, this is similar in some ways, regardless of congregational size. So I'm going to say a thing that is countercultural, but I really, really mean it. As we are reemerging, I heard in a congregation forum with you in Chicago, our colleague Jason Leiden was saying, you know, it's really difficult right now. It's really difficult right now. We're maybe at 70% of kind of where we were before the pandemic. What does it take to, and I said, 70%? That's amazing. And I meant it. And I said, what if we aimed for 40% for a minute? This is not a joke. If we leave room for rest, for vision, for connection, for imagination, can we just like sit next to each other and have a conversation rather than trying to model a kind of program we were at in 2019? It's not who we are right now. And I ask this not just for our own well-being, but for your congregational leaders who are like losing sleep about how to best support you, for your religious professionals, for your colleagues. Can we just try to show up for each other for a minute? We can grow from 40%. It's a lot harder to heal from the burnout of 150%. And so I really mean that. That said, again, I think that congregations can figure out what they're really good at, what their mission is, and offer it to other area congregations. If your congregation is really good at youth and young adult ministry, invite youth and young adults from areas around you. If a congregation near you is doing a Bible study, and that hasn't happened for you in the last 25 years, invite your people to go. If your congregation is really good at environmental justice and training people to be in the streets, invite people. Could we not reinvent the same wheel? Oh, we just don't have the resources. Share. Let shame go. We were talking about this in our professional days earlier. Partner with each other. We have always been meant to partner with each other. That is literally what General Assembly is about. And this is not just a Mass Bay issue. Can we connect across congregational lines? Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. We are literally meant to partner with each other. And it's a way to grow from 40% instead of burning out because we're trying to run at 150. On a side note, I am really eager for you all to meet Reverend Sophia virtually. She is amazing and I believe absolutely the right person to lead us to wherever it is we are going. I will ask Susan after the service to link the forum that this clip is from to our website. So I'm guessing that none of these themes surprise you: change, reemergence, capacity. It's not at all surprising that we would be talking about that at our national level. That brings me to the most important thing I heard, which Reverend Sophia touched on a little bit, and which I think might be the most important thing to bring to you. And that thing is that we are not alone. I know that I preach that in so many ways all the time. And almost always when I preach it, I'm asking you to look at each other in this room. As I preach it today, in this time of reemergence and reimagining ourselves, I'm reminding us that this congregation is not alone. Many of our congregations are facing financial struggles, many of them far greater than our passing a deficit budget that we're confident we can make up. They're closing or they're merging. And sometimes they're just slowly shrinking and feeling lost and defeated. All the ministers I talked to, every single one, there were like 600 of them there, I didn't talk to them all, but every single minister I talked to said, even if their membership or financial numbers aren't down, their volunteer energy is. we are not alone. And so many of our congregations are sad because many of their families haven't returned since their buildings reopened. They are struggling to rebuild religious education programs with too few children and youth to build momentum and not drawing in enough families because those programs haven't been built. Same cycle we're in. I heard more than a few times that focus on our family ministries is a crucial part of congregational life, and that that focus needs to be visionary rather than reactionary. What I hear in that is that we need to grieve that our RE programs don't work the way they used to and let them go so that we have the energy to imagine what a family ministry grounded in UU values and this congregation's mission might look like. So many of our congregations feel lost and not a little anxious. We have never done this before. Survived a global pandemic in the midst of rising fascism and global climate chaos. We don't know how to come back to functioning fully. There is no plan. There's only trying things out and sharing what does and does not work with each other. Which brings us to a thing I need to reflect on a little bit that Reverend Sophia mentioned. Our congregation is not particularly connected to our national association. I am a connection in that I'm grounded in the larger Unitarian Universalism and what happens in that larger context. I bring some of that groundedness and some of that information to you. But I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm open to conversation on this, like everything else I say, I don't think it's part of Reed culture to think of ourselves as part of the bigger movement. And I think that's a mistake, especially now, because what's happening in our denomination isn't something out there, you know, beyond us. It's not happening in Boston. Hey, I pointed the right way. That's where Boston is. It's not happening in Boston at UUA headquarters. It is happening everywhere. It's the same things that is happening to our congregation and in our congregation on a larger scale. It would serve us and inspire us and ground us more firmly in the amazing message of Unitarian Universalism to remember that. And I will keep reminding you. That's one of the reasons I go to ministry days and General Assembly, to make those connections, to be with all those people, to be reminded, to learn what's happening in other congregations and in our association, to participate in that democratic process of decision-making with delegates from other congregations, to see my colleagues and other UUs that I have known for over my 25 years as part of this faith tradition, and to find inspiration, frankly, to keep going as a minister, as a UU, as a human. It's the last of these things that I struggled with this year. And I don't share this just because I want y'all to know how bone tired I am. That's not my message. I want you to hear that the dumpster fire that is today's times affects me just as much as it affects all of you. We're feeling very similar things, I think. I hold awareness for how tiring it is to keep trying to build a better world in the face of such bitter hate. That's hard to say out loud. There's usually a time during one of the worship services at Ministry Days, which is the 2 days before GA. This is when all of my colleagues, all of the ministers, and this year, the directors of religious education, the religious professionals that serve our family ministries, this is where we gather. And we gather for 2 days before GA. And there is usually a time during that makes me realize how I have closed off some of myself in self-defense to that hate. And in the safety of the company of my colleagues, my heart opens up again a little bit. It's my process every June. That didn't happen. It didn't happen at Ministry Days this year. It didn't happen as I moved through worships and workshops and reconnections with my people. And as the week went on, I kept noticing this and I felt sadness that maybe this time would not be as healing as it usually is. And then I went to Sunday worship, last day of the whole thing, which if you haven't seen, I really recommend that you do. I will ask Susan again to link that to the page for today's service, or maybe on the What's Happening in Yuism page. I'll figure it out. Anyway, the service started with the choir singing Holly Near's, "I am open and I am willing to be hopeless, what seems so strange. It dishonors those who go before us, so lift me up to the light of change." There were many other deeply moving elements, and then the Reverend Manish Mishra Marzetti offered a reflection. It turns out this service is what I was waiting for all week. It was the thing that opened my heart back up. As part of his reflection, Reverend Manish told the story of a woman named Debbie, who found the congregation he serves while she was in a very deep low, housing insecure, jobless, with a child. Debbie found shelter and inspiration in that congregation, in that grounding message of love that many of our congregations offer, and in the welcome and the care that she was offered there. Manish tells about how she started to heal, and then, in her healing, started to offer her own welcome and her own care as part of that congregation, and then beyond. And then he says this, that Mike is gonna bring up for us.
In a recent conversation, Debbie shared with me that on that fateful Sunday, the first time she was ever in one of our communities, she says, quote, "Unitarian Universalism saved my life." And truly, it's done more than that. It has empowered Debbie in returning the care and support that was offered to her back out to the world many times over. We never really truly know what the future holds, do we? But we can allow the anxiety that accompanies uncertainty to be a catalyst, to be a waking up event, an event in which we remember and ground ourselves in who we truly are, in what our deepest commitments are. We are a people devoted to religious liberty, to justice, equity, and individual and collective healing and growth. We are a people of courage. We Unitarian Universalists are a people who have always been open and willing to rise up and meet the needs of the times we are in. For to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who have gone before us. And so we lift ourselves up to the light of change. The world may buffet us with uncertainty, yes, with pandemics, climate devastation, civic and social strife, and on the list is long, and we know it. Yet grounded in the strength of our bonds with one another, there are no challenges, no obstacles that will keep us from shining our Unitarian Universalist flame, the light of our love, from the highest mountains, announcing to all that we are here, waiting to welcome others, you who may need us, you who may be longing for us, you who may never even have heard of us before today. Our love for one another and for the wider world is the beacon that has always guided this band of beloveds in the mighty and improbable work of bending the very arc of history. Remember how often we as a movement have succeeded in doing just that. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who we are collectively. Trust the goodness, the light inside you. That is how we become the people our world needs us to be. We are open, we are willing. May it always be so.
I wasn't supposed to cry while watching this. So hearing that's what did it. The reminder that we have been successful helps me remember that we will continue to be. So that's what finally opened up my heart, and at the same time, it really encapsulated my takeaway from the whole General Assembly, that we are the people of courage who put love at the center. That does not mean that I have to be strong every single minute of every single day. That means I have you all, and you all have each other and me, to lift each other to the light of change. Regardless of the challenges of this time to our congregation, to all of our congregations, to our association as a whole, our call right now is to remember who we are and why we're here. That brought me to some questions that I want to pass along to you, that I will continue to pass along to you, I suspect, after I come back from some leave time, where I'll rest and study and ready to myself to be open and willing once more. Questions like the one Reverend Manish asked during a different part of his reflection. He asked, how do we stay hopeful when, like Debbie, we might not know where our next meal is coming from? And like, how do we stay hopeful amid the current uncertainties within and around our congregation? And what lives have we saved? And what lives have we changed? And the most basic grounding question, who are we as a community and what are we here for? This is an intense time. You just heard Manish say it too, disintegrating democracy, climate chaos, the rise of fascism, ever-increasing attacks on people with marginalized identities and countercultural ideas of how we should be together. All of this is happening as we emerge from a global pandemic that has done serious damage to how we know how to be a community. When I dare to admit myself, when I dare to admit to myself that apocalypse is not just possible, but maybe here, and I have the presence of mind to think about what will carry us through this time and land on those UU values. They're so true. Interdependence, equity, pluralism, generosity, justice, transformation, love. Love at the center of those values, a hub connecting them to each other as how we live them out shifts and turns and emerges and reemerges. Love at the center of our work to live those values, grounding us in the spiritual. Love at the centers of our congregations and our communities, much like ours. We do this really well. Welcome, sharing love, inclusion. We are, as Manish reminded us so beautifully, we are the people of love. Another theme that ran through GA is encapsulated by this. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. And what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. May it be so. And may we be so.